Well, hello again. Thank you again to Emma and Nigel for worship. I didn't think I was going to be able to stand and speak to you today because earlier this week or on Thursday, I was helping my father-in-law with his garage door and it actually came down in the wind and landed on my head. But I am okay, as you can see. Obviously proves I have a thick skull. This week, if I'm totally honest with you, I was struggling about what to share. I, as an individual, I try not to prepare anything too far in advance because I want to try and listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. And I don't always hear his voice. And up until Wednesday of this week, it was a total blank. And then I had a conversation with David Fleming, and something was just stirred up and provoked in me, because when we chat one with another, we tend to put the world to rights, but we end up preaching to each other. And if you manage to look at that mini message that I put on when I was standing on top of the roof at the classroom, you will understand where I'm coming from. I just want to start with Mark 2 in verse 3, where it talks about that very thing, where some men came bringing a paralyzed man. They carried him, four of them. Since they couldn't get in to see Jesus, scripture says, they dug a hole in the roof and they lowered him through. And what I said in that mini message was, through the wind and the rain that was happening that day, was that these four friends stood in the gap for this one paralyzed man. And I encouraged us as a church to find four people that we can stand in the gap for, that we can pray for. And I want to continue that theme of standing in the gap. Now, when I was chatting with David, I illustrated a story and it made me think. And I just want to share just for a few moments. I don't like to bring too many social stories, but I want to bring this one to try and illustrate my heart and what it is I'm trying to say to us about standing in the gap. Because there's many ways that we as individuals and corporately as a church can stand in the gap for those around us. And I was saying to David that when I was younger, when I was between 16 and 19, my first employment role, I would be working with two or three other men and they would complain many times about certain things. And none of them would go to the boss of our employer and confront him with any of these issues that I felt were at times quite major. And I'm either a person who's quite brave at times or quite foolish. And I think looking back, I was maybe a mixture of both. And they would complain about something and I would go and see the boss and say, "Tommy, can I have a word with you? We feel." And I would represent, if you like, I would stand in the gap for everyone else who worked for him and say, "This is an injustice and we'd like you to consider rectifying it." And he would say to me, "Okay, well, if that's how you all feel, I'll look into it." But before he would look into it, he would come and he would talk to everybody in front of everybody else. He asked them one question. He would say, "Andrew has said that you feel this way. Is that true?" And one by one, they would say, "No. Oh, no, we're fine, Tommy. We're fine." So then he would conclude by saying, "So it's just you then, Andrew." And I got to look a fool. And this went on for many, many times until the time came where there was another situation that we was all complaining about. And I went to see Tommy and I gave him my petition. And he said to me, "Is that how everybody feels?" And I said, "No, that's just how I feel. I'm representing myself. I'm not speaking on behalf of anyone else." And this was to do with a footwear allowance, because our boots were getting ripped to pieces by the broken glass constantly on the floor. And he looked at me and he said, "Andrew, if you're just representing yourself, you can expect an allowance in your wage packet at the end of the month." And I went back in and shared this with my colleagues and they got excited thinking that they were going to receive the same bonus at me. And then I said to them, "No, if you want it, you need to represent yourself." And as I thought about that, as I was talking with David, and I came home and I started to ponder on those thoughts, you may say that it was completely justified. that I'd been let down. I'd been stabbed in the back is a word that people use. And I'd been led on to represent the mass. And yet when it came down to it, nobody stood up for me. And I just want to look at a scripture in 1 Samuel 17:48. It says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, who was he going to attack? This is David and Goliath. I used this illustration some time ago, David and Goliath. And I got thinking about David and Goliath. I got thinking about the whole story of David and Goliath after my conversation with David and thinking about standing in the gap. And can you imagine on the hillside or up on the mountaintop, should I say, would have been the multitude of people. The armies of the living God were there, and maybe they were cheering David on. Go on, you can do it. But when it comes down to it, David was the one who went down into the valley. He was the one who stood before the opposition. He had to make a decision. Was he going to act for himself, or was he going to act on behalf of the multitude? Even though his first encounter with the multitude was his older brother, who reprimanded him and ripped him apart and said that he was selfish and that he had a bad spirit. And yet David made the choice to stand in the gap for the multitude. So when I look back at that story about me and those that I worked with, although I could justify it at the time, as a Christian now I can't. Because we are called to stand in the gap regardless of what the multitude may say to us or what they may say about us. We've all experienced times where we've stood in the gap for someone else and they've let us down. That we've stood up and we've voiced an opinion that we thought was the opinion of all those around us. And yet when it came to it, we were the one in the valley standing on our own. But when you look at this story, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. That's what God has commissioned me and you to do. To stand in the gap. To go into the valley. And to stand at the battle line, to fight on behalf of other people, to stand in the gap spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. I want this to be a challenge for us, and I want this to be an encouragement for us, because I'm sure, like you, you've all been in the situation where you've stood in the gap for someone else and they've let you down. Well, I want to say to us, church, that's okay, because God doesn't want us to be selfish. He wants to be selfless. He don't want us to be fearful. He wants us to be faithful. There's times in my life, even in recent years, where I thought there were people who were close to me that had my back. And when push come to shove, Susan and I are the ones that are standing in the gap. And that's okay. Because when we think about it, that's what God's called us to do. We don't stand in the gap so that we can get applause. We don't stand in the gap so that we can be rewarded by man. We stand in the gap so that at that time, God can say to me and you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So I want to bring one or two scriptures to us this morning so that we can meditate on what it means for us to stand in the gap. Different illustrations and different aspects, but it all comes down to the same thing. To stand in the gap, we can stand physically in the gap and we can hold people together. We can stand spiritually in the gap and we can hold people together. But we are called ultimately not to be individual and just about me. I can pray, Lord, bless me. Or I can pray, Lord, bless us. Lord, reveal yourself to us. So let's continue this message by bringing scripture and illustrations from those scripture. In Exodus 2, starting at verse 16, if you want to read with me. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flocks. Some shepherds came along and drove them away. So you have the daughters of Midian coming to feed, to water their flocks, and you had the shepherds, the men around, chase them away, saying, no, we want to go first. And then listen to what happens next. But Moses got up and came to their rescue. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. He stood in the gap. He stood between the shepherds and the women. He stood in the gap, and these individuals were allowed to water their flock. There's many opportunities God gives us to stand in the gap for people. If you look in Psalm 106, you'll hopefully know what this is talking about. So he said he would destroy them. Who's he? He is God. He said he would destroy them. Who are them? That's the people of Israel. Had not Moses, his chosen one, God's chosen one, stood in the breach. If Moses hadn't stood in the gap before him to keep his wrath from destroying him, they would have been destroyed. See, when God calls us, he equips us and he enables us and he gives us opportunity to bring that story to life. If you look in Exodus 32, I just want to read starting from verse 9. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses. So Moses and God, they're having this conversation. Remember, Moses was obedient to the call of God. And they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, God says, so that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them. Then I will make you a great nation. So what God was saying to Moses was this. Listen, I don't have a problem with you. I have a problem with them. Now you get out of my way. I'm going to destroy them and then I'm going to bless you. And that's the challenge, I believe, that we have as Christians. That we can receive that blessing for ourselves. God wanted to bless Moses. But look at what Moses did. He could have just said, that's fine by me. Get rid of those stiff-necked troublemakers that are always stabbing me in the back. Always grumbling and complaining. You get rid of them, God, and you bless me. But he went on to say this in verse 11. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord, his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people who you brought up out of Egypt with your power and a mighty hand? He was reminding God that these people weren't his people. They were God's people. They're your people, Lord. Why do you want to destroy your people, Lord? Do you see what I'm trying to say here? Just as I gave that illustration where I went in to see my employer and I got blessed, just me, because I wouldn't stand in the gap for the rest of the people that so often stabbed me in the back. Yet Moses had an opportunity to get rid of all the grumbling and complaining and start afresh, but he chose not to. He chose to stand in the gap. So you may have been disappointed in the past. You may have been let down in the past. That's okay. Many of us have the same story. But when God does a work, he does a work on the inside. And my challenge to you and my challenge to us is that regardless to how many opportunities we have just for us to be blessed, we need to look out further. We need to look at our families. We need to look at our friends. We need to look at our communities, our neighbours, our enemies. And we need to say, Lord, bless me, yes, Lord, but bless them, that they may know you better. That's the prayer of our heart. Let's stand in the gap for those that are around us. In Ezekiel 22, starting at verse 30, I looked for someone among them, God says, who would build up the wall. The wall here is the righteousness. It's a wall of prayer and right standing. And they would stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land. So I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. That's a sad situation, isn't it? When God is looking for someone to stand in the gap and he can find no one. Well, we can say today, Lord, here I am. Send me. Lord, here I am. Use me. Lord, here I am. Encourage me. Lord, here I am. Let me be salt and light to the community around me. Here I am, Lord. Let me stand in the gap. David could have got to the battle line and say, well, why should I fight for these people who do nothing but criticize me? Let them fight their own battles. He didn't. He made a choice to stand in the gap. And that's the choice that you and I can have today. In Genesis, it talks about Abraham. Genesis 18, starting at verse 23. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Now, what's he talking about? I'm glad you asked me. if you look around this story, he's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. The wickedness of the men of Sodom was a stench in the nostrils of God. And God wanted to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet you have Abraham. He approached him and said, God, this is, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? He was standing in the gap for the righteous people that he imagined lived in that community. Surely there must be 50 righteous people in the city. Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous men in it? God says, far be it from me to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked. If you can find 50 righteous people, I will spare the city. And then he goes on in verse 27. Then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous were 5 less than 50? You see, he's trying to negotiate with God. What about if there's 45 there? He said, will you not destroy it? He's trying to negotiate with God. Now, if we pause here and think about this story, are we saying that if we petition God, he will not do what he intends to do? I don't think that's true. I don't think it's as much to do with God's mind being changed as Abraham's mind being changed. Because God is a just God and a righteous God. And if there was 50 righteous people, he would have given them the opportunity to escape. If there was 50 or 45 righteous people, he would have given them opportunity to escape. In verse 30, he says this, then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. He's standing in the gap. He's being persistent. And there will be times for us to stand in the gap for others. We will have to be persistent. We will have to keep going. Keep praying, keep asking, keep seeking. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? Would you destroy it for the sake of 30? You get the picture, don't you? You get what's happening here. He's standing in the gap for others. It will profit him not. He will escape. It makes no difference to him. He witnessed the wickedness of the men of that city. He could have said in his heart, they deserve to perish. But he said, Lord, I know you're just. If there's righteous men here, and that includes women, if there's righteous men here, Lord, do not destroy them. And he stood in the gap. And when we look through scripture, we will see time and time again, where men and women stood in the gap to fight and defend on behalf of those that couldn't fight and defend themselves. And that's the challenge and the encouragement for you and I. You just look at Esther and look what Esther did by going before the king and standing in the gap. Even though her life was on the line, she stood in the gap. God is looking afresh for his people to not just pray for themselves, but pray for those around them, to stand in the gap spiritually, to say, Lord, place on my heart the desire to pray, the desire to stand in the gap. As we continue to look, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire, it says in, this is Romans 10, starting at verse 1. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. You know, they knew about God. They worshipped God, but they tried to justify themselves, the nation of Israel, this is, by their practices, by their rituals, by their routines, by trying to keep the law. They didn't have that relationship that comes through Jesus Christ. And Romans is telling us here that Paul prayed for them, saying, may they be saved. May they come to an understanding of your greatness. There was men who was in that city at the time who tried to take Paul's life, tried to persecute him. Yet it wasn't his will. It was God's will. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "Not my will be done, but yours." And that's the same prayer for me and you, isn't it? Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. So the message today is, are you willing to stand in the gap, even though it may cost you something? Even though you'll get no reward at times from those that you're seeking God's blessing for? Challenge for us, yes, but what a blessing, what an encouragement to know that you will make a difference in their lives. You may not see it, but we know that when we pray, God listens, he hears, and at the right time, he pours out his goodness, doesn't he? He pours out his faithfulness. So for me and you, as we go forward into this week, let's be reminded that we have a privilege to stand in the gap. We have a privilege to run towards the enemy. We have the privilege of knowing who God is through the person of Jesus Christ. So we can say, yes, here I am, Lord. Send me. In Luke 23, 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And I was challenged on my walk this morning. And one of the things that's really, if I'm honest, been tormenting me in some kind of way over these last few months is I've tried very, very hard not to think about the past disappointments. And yet there's times where they come up and they cause me to be in anxiety and to sink and to start thinking, how could people do? What about this? What about that? And this is true. This statement that Jesus brought is something that we should be reminded of, and I've been reminded of it. It's this: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And there are times where some of our friends and our families and our loved ones, there'll be times where those that are closest to us, those that are working alongside us, will do something or say something that really goes against what we believe, really goes against what they said that they would stand for. Well, we can stand in the gap for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And there are times where good people make bad choices. And when I look back at some of the people that were closest to me, there's not bitterness that's in their heart. It's an opportunity that they had to say something or do something. And maybe they didn't know to the extent of what they were doing. So for me to stand in the gap for those, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's the same for me. I pray that people will pray for me and that they'll pray, Lord, forgive Andrew, because there's times he doesn't know what he said. He doesn't know what he's doing. So let's stand in the gap for friends, neighbours, enemies alike. Hebrews 7:24, but because Jesus lives forever, he says, he has a permanent priesthood, Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. He's always standing in the gap for those that have accepted him as Savior and Lord. Isn't that good news? God's standing in the gap. Jesus is standing in the gap for you. When the devil comes and accuses you before God, Jesus says, not guilty. I stand in the gap for him. When he comes to accuse me, Jesus says, not guilty. I stand in the gap for Andrew. I've taken his burdens upon myself. I'm carrying him. His sin has died within me. It's been raised again. And through me, he lives because I live. That's good news, isn't it? Jesus is our intercessor, but he gives us that ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile man and God. So what that means is to reconcile man to God is someone needs to stand in the gap. Now we know that Jesus is standing in the gap for Christians, but we can stand in the gap for non-Christians, can't we? We can stand in the gap for those that don't know him or don't know him yet. Lord, reveal yourself to him afresh. We can stand in the gap for those that may be drifting away, like the story of the prodigal, where we want it and we want it now, and they go off to a far land, and then they squander everything that God's given them. Maybe you know someone who once walked with God in a way that you envied, and they're squandering the gifts of God. Stand in the gap. Pray that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened, that they would step out of the pig pen and step back into the Father's arms. Let's stand in the gap for those around us, the ones we love and the ones we don't. A couple more scriptures I'd like to share with you just to emphasize this story of standing in the gap, this few moments of ministering to us and challenging us. It's 1 Timothy 2. I urge then, first of all, Paul says, that petitions and prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What was he saying? If we want people to come to the knowledge of the truth, we need to pray for them. Petition God, pray on their behalf, intercede, give thanks for them, for all those that are in authority and not in authority, for governments, for other ministries, for families, for households, for communities. We can stand in the gap. My final scripture, and I'll leave you with this, is in Romans 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is it to have peace with God? For us to have peace with God, it means that the subject of death and punishment had to be dealt with. We have peace with God because we've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Through the shedding of Christ's blood, he became a substitute for me and you, didn't he? Yes, he did. He died in my place and he died in your place. And that's a challenge for me and you. We have an opportunity to die to self and live to the Lord for someone else. We have an opportunity to pray not just for the four friends, but for the 44 friends, neighbours, colleagues. We have an opportunity to pray for our governments, local and national and international. We have an opportunity to see God's hand at work. And yes, there may be times where we may be criticised. Yes, there may be times where it seems to be a thankless task. But may I encourage you not to be like the man that I was when I was younger, where I made a decision not to defend the multitude, but just to look after me. May I be more like Moses when he was challenged with an opportunity to be blessed, but he chose to stand in the gap for the community that God had called him to stand in the gap for. Now, God has called you and I to stand in the gap for those that don't know him. So this week, let's pray for the four, the 44, or the 404. Let's stand in the gap. Amen. Amen.